have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. We want to begin our study in the book of Joshua, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 this morning, or this afternoon, 1 through 9 of chapter 1 in the book of Joshua. As we study this morning, the nation of Israel had been promised the land, and Moses had died. The Lord had taken Moses home. We know that to this day, no one has ever found the body of Moses. I believe it was for good cause, because men have a strange way of doing things and worshiping all kinds of relics and people, and instead of worshiping God. And that may be one reason that the Lord took Moses to the top of Mount Nebo, and he was never seen again. He died there, and the Lord buried him. But we see that Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, is now left in charge. And as we studied a little bit, as we're looking at the introduction to Joshua, if you go back into the end of Deuteronomy, you see that Moses and Joshua are made aware of what's going to happen. And in chapter 34, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land that I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, and I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him, that is the Lord, buried him there in a valley in the land of Moab, or against Beth Peor, and no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. In other words, he didn't have physical problems, didn't have any. The Lord just called him home. And it wasn't because of any physical ailments. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since the Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And in all the mighty land and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. So Joshua, in all likelihood, wrote the last portion of the book of Deuteronomy, because Moses couldn't have written it because Moses had died. And it's but Joshua wrote that. And if you stop and think about it, Joshua is writing this, and he's also eulogizing Moses, and he's telling the facts as they were, and what a great man that Moses was, what a godly man that Moses was, what a great prophet that Moses was, what great things the Lord did through Moses because of his obedience to the Lord. And now he, Joshua, is going to take over leadership of the nation of Israel. Joshua knows the type of people that these people have been. Their parents and grandparents were the ones that had died in the wilderness because they were a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. And they didn't necessarily always like to listen to the leadership that Moses was giving. Oftentimes, the parents and grandparents of those that he was leading into the promised land had rebelled against Moses. And as great a man as Moses was, and as how they mourned for him after he died, oftentimes the parents of these children and grandchildren that are now adults going into the land, they had not listened. And now he, Joshua, is in charge. And what do you do when you're following someone of the stature of a Moses? And you've been entrusted with the fulfillment of the promise that had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hundreds of years before. And now you're the one that's responsible for leading him into the land. Well, let's see what the Lord tells Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I just want to pause here. I want you to see, first of all, two things here. Who does he say is going to give the land to the children of Israel? It is the Lord. The Lord says, I'm the one. I'm the one that's going to give. So the first thing that he wants Joshua to realize is it's not placed upon Joshua's shoulders to lead the people in, and that he, Joshua, has got to become this great military leader that somehow is going to figure out how to conquer all these Canaanites when he's got the children and grandchildren of men and women who'd been slaves and shepherds and cattle ranchers their whole life. They weren't soldiers. And yet he, Joshua, probably had more experience than any of those going into the land in figuring out how to fight and conquer, because he had been the one that Moses had placed in charge of fighting the Amalekites when they attacked Israel in the desert. And Moses had made him the general, the one in charge. But Joshua was going, how am I going to do this? And the Lord is saying, first of all, I'm the one. I'm the one that's going to go and give you and these the land. The second thing I want you to see is that he wants Joshua to remember the promises that have been given. Just as the Lord wants us to always remember the promises that he has given to us, then in the Apostle Paul tells us as Christians are to constantly to be looking and placing the Word of God in our heart. Why? So that when Satan would come and try to discourage us, when Satan would come and try to defeat us, we have the Word of the Lord placed within our heart, relying upon the promises that God has given to us, that he is there to be the one that would be our strength and our shield and our help, ever help in time of trouble. And so he wants Joshua to remember and look upon the promises and covenant that God had made. He'd made it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it was to be fulfilled within their descendants and their children, and the time is now. The beginning of this fulfillment of the land coming into their hands is now, as Joshua is standing on the east side of the Jordan River. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. The next thing I want you to see is that it is the Lord who has given it, and he has given it on to Joshua to be the leader, even as he gave the leadership onto Moses. Now, this would be comforting to know that Joshua knows that he is not Moses. We talked about that, I believe, like about three Sundays ago, that there's nobody that's expendable, that isn't expendable. I mean, God doesn't need any of us to accomplish his purposes, but each one of us is unique in the way that God uses us and the talents and gifts that he gives us. The Lord wants Joshua to know that even though Moses was a tremendous leader, even though Moses had been given tremendous gifts of God, from God, and had shown forth the power of God's Spirit being used through him throughout his whole life in leading, being prepared, and then finally leading the nation of Israel, that he, Joshua, the Lord was going to go before him just as he had gone before Moses. And a lot of times people say, well, I read the Bible and I look at what God did through the Apostle Paul, and I could never do that. I could never, do what Paul did and just travel and go into new cities and meet all kinds of strangers and share the gospel. And I could never do that type of thing. Well, God doesn't call you to do that. He gifted Paul to do that, and he placed Paul in that position. But God has placed you in positions. He's brought people into your life, and he gifts you with his power and his spirit, just as he did Paul. And we're not to be Apostle Paul's. We're to be us, and we're to be used by God in the places that he places us. There are people that we meet, and we have opportunities to share the gospel with, that nobody else may have the opportunity to share with, but we do. And so we have to be prepared for the times that God would give us opportunities to see him go before us, even as he went before Paul, even as he went before Joshua, even as he went before Moses. And so the Lord reminds Joshua that as he places his soul into the promised land, he, the Lord, is going to go forward with him, and everywhere he treads, he will, the Lord will fulfill his promise through what he does in, through the life of Joshua. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and onto the great sea, that is the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, as Joshua is looking, this is a massive amount of land, especially when you stop and think that the nation of Israel has never had any land they could call their own. And all of a sudden, from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean, to the east side of the Jordan River, into the desert, down to the river, as we talked this morning, of Egypt, which may be the Nile or maybe the Wadi of Egypt. I don't know which it is. But it's a massive area that they have no ownership of at all, other than the caves that Abraham had purchased and a couple of wells that Jacob had dug, and a little bit of land that Isaac had bought. They have nothing that really they can lay claim to other than the fact God has told them it's yours. I want you to understand that as this could be a daunting task if Joshua just looked at it and said, how am I going to do that? It can be a daunting task in any of our lives if you begin to say, well, I've got to do all this, these things, I got to accomplish all of this. But how did the Lord say it? One step at a time. One step at a time, and I will be there just as I was with Moses. One day, one step at a time. Jesus gave us the example, and he says, we're not to worry about tomorrow, for there's enough worries today. But the thing is, I will be with you today, and I will give you what you need for today, and I will give you the strength for today. And so you're living today, don't worry about tomorrow. Joshua wasn't to worry about how he's going to conquer all this land that God had given the nation of Israel, but rather he's to realize that the Lord's going to go before him, and everywhere that he puts his soul down, everywhere that he says, this we are coming to claim in the name of the Lord, that the Lord is there with him and will enable him to claim it, and he will work through him and fulfill his promise, just as he had fulfilled the promises through Moses. The Lord will work in our lives just as he has in the lives of believers that have gone before us. One of the things that I think that Christians need to know is history. If Joshua hadn't been Moses' right-hand man, he would have known nothing about Moses. And he wouldn't have known how God had worked through Moses' life. Joshua had read what Moses had written about how that the Lord prepared Moses. And he'd been preparing Joshua for this day. He's preparing each one of us for circumstances and situations that he will place us in where we can accomplish his purposes and be used by him to fulfill and conquer the things that he would have us conquer. And it may be sharing the gospel with people and seeing lives changed. Verse 5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And then, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the Lord will not fail us, nor forsake us. We've been given something that the people of Israel didn't have at this time. We've got the indwelling power of God's Spirit in our lives, and we've got the gifts of God's Spirit going before us. Now, you're going to see this term used three times in this short passage. Be thou strong and of good courage. Be thou strong and of good courage. We as Christians are to be like Joshua and be strong and of good courage. What is courage? Well, the opposite of courage is fear, right? If you're courageous in battle, you're standing and you're doing the things that you need to do and been instructed to do. If you're fearful in battle, you turn and run. It's amazing. The New Testament tells us that Jesus came, and one of the things that he did when he came and paid the penalty for our sins and we became new creatures in Christ, Paul tells us that he, what? Cast out all fear. We no longer have to fear. When we look at the world, it can be a very fearful thing. You see all the things happening in the world, all the wickedness, all the evil, everything around, and one can become very fearful if you just look. Just like Joshua could have looked at the land of Canaan. These were not nice people. These were evil people, wicked people, so wicked that they've been sinning and sinning worse and worse and worse for 400 years. And God said that their sin, as we talked the other week, that the last drop had come, which caused the flow of sin to overrun, and their sin had finally overrun. It was no longer waiting for that final drop. They were that wicked. And as Joshua was looking at them, he could have been very fearful. He could have said, as they first went into the land a number of years ago with the other spies, and they saw giants in the land. There were very big men. We know that because they were still there during the time of David when Goliath was there, 9 foot tall.